I was terrified. My meditation teacher had invited me to do a public talk, but I made every excuse that I could think of. I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. I don't know enough. I haven't been doing this long enough. What if I mess up? What if they judge me? They won't like it. Who's going to listen to me? I'm so young. But he kept insisting. So finally, I said yes. My heart was pounding all the way to the class. And when I finally walked into that room, I immediately wanted to run. My palms were slick with sweat. My heart hammered so hard that I thought everyone could hear it echoing on the walls around me. I looked at their faces and I almost panicked. But I started teaching, stumbling over my words, my voice shaking. I had a nervous twitch. I was making mistakes. I had no idea what I was talking about. Whatever I was thinking I was going to say all went out of the window once I started. I wanted the whole earth to eat me up. But I just let go as best as I could, sharing from my heart and surrendering. And as I started sharing more and more, I found I actually quite enjoyed it. I came into the flow. Everything started to merge into a seamless experience. I was one with life. About halfway through, the door opened and a tall man walked in. He had wild hair catching the light, bright eyes, the biggest, most genuine smile I'd ever seen. And he dropped down on the floor in front of me, just 3 feet away, close enough that I could hear his breath settle. And for the rest of the class, he just smiled, that massive, radiant smile, like he was watching something holy. His name was Nick Good. After the class, as I was leaving, Nick waited for me and he walked straight up to me, still grinning. "That's incredible," he said. "The energy in the room, I need to be around this more, bro." Then he said something I'll never forget. "Can I stay in your garden?" I laughed. This guy I just met wanted to camp in my backyard. But there was something about him, something free, something alive. There was something that I knew was good. So I said, sure. And Nick moved in his tent in the back garden, and he stayed for years. And in those years, so many things totally changed in my life. We meditated together every morning, sometimes for hours, often starting at 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning. We did special mantras together. And it was the kind of meditation where time dissolves and you forget your body exists, going into an altered state of infinite peace. And afterwards, we'd share the visions that came through, the insights that landed like gifts. But Nick wasn't like me. He wasn't careful. He wasn't planning. He wasn't waiting to be ready. He just did things. If he wanted to travel, he just went. No plan, no safety net. He just went. I remember one time he decided to meet some random guy in the rainforest in Brazil. He'd heard about some mystical person who had some magical things to share. And off he went one Sunday afternoon. And I expected to see him 3 months later, 5 months later, who knows, as he went on this adventure. The following Thursday, there was a knock at the door and he was back. And I asked him what happened and he said he went all the way to Brazil. He went to the rainforest. He started going through the rainforest in search of this guy who he didn't even know really where he lived. And on the way, he was attacked by every kind of evil creature and insect you can imagine. He was attacked by scorpions and strange beings that he'd never seen, stung and bitten and stung and bitten and attacked. And after 3 days, hacking his way through the jungle, being attacked from every angle, he decided to retreat back, got on a plane, and came home. Not everything he did worked out very well, but he just did what he wanted. If he wanted to try something new, he just tried it. No 3-month preparation period, not let me research this first. If he wanted to tell you something, he just said it. No rehearsing in his head for hours and hours, not worrying how it would land. One day, Nick announced, "I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to figure out how to live there and do my sacred work. I want to share all these things that we've been talking about." And I thought he was crazy. I said, "You know, how are you going to do this? You haven't got any money. You don't have any connections. You haven't got a plan. Like, what are you going to do?" And he just smiled that smile. And he said, "Look, bro, I'll figure it out. I've got this one connection. It's going to be awesome." And off he went. About 8 months later, I got a message. And he was living in a $2 million house on the north shore of Kauai, doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He had clients. He was charging $21,000 per client. All out of the magic of him taking imperfect action. So Nick was free in a way that I wasn't. I was still trapped, calculating, thinking about stuff, waiting, telling myself I'm not ready, I need to prepare, I need to do this, I need to do that. Well, Nick was just fully, gloriously alive. He did whatever he wanted. And years passed, and we created many programs and together. I moved to Hawaii to help him out initially, and then I started doing my own work. And life pulled us in different directions. We had occasional messages and meetings, but we kind of lost touch. But he was always close to my heart, so one of those people where even if you don't talk to him for years, you still feel his family. And then one morning, I opened Facebook, and a message said, "Did you hear that Nick has died?" I stared at the screen. No, I just absolutely refused to believe it. Because I'd been in touch with Nick the day before and the week before, and he'd send me these long messages, told me all about what he was going through, what's going on in his life, what he wanted to do. He wanted to work on a new project to help men go through things. We were about to set up a time to meet for a long meeting. He sent me this long message that I hadn't even listened to. He literally messaged me that morning that he died, and then he was gone. And my hands shook as I pulled up his message. I picked up my phone, looked at WhatsApp, and there's this 17-minute message.
"Hello, my brother. Beautiful message. Thank you for sharing, bro. I love it. I really am calling in your presence in my life, bro. I need this connection. Everything's energy, yeah?"
That's the beginning of this beautiful last message on the day he died. And he went on to explain all the challenges he's having and how he really needed me in his life. But I didn't even listen to that message. I didn't get back to him in time because I was too busy doing too much of not enough, wasting my life in perfectionism. Nick died suddenly that evening, unexpectedly, just 4 days before his 64th birthday. I sat there in front of my phone, the screen blurring. I couldn't breathe. Something broke me open. I actually didn't believe it at first, but on some level, I could feel this had actually happened. And I realized we are all going to die. we're all going to die, and it can happen at any moment. Nick was fine. He sent me a long message. He wanted to connect. He wanted to do projects. And before I could get back to him, he died. We think we have this long way to live. We think there's all this time ahead of us. But suddenly, anything can happen. And I saw my whole life with brutal clarity when he died. Despite all my success, despite all my meditation programs and students and businesses and money and everything, if I was honest, I felt imprisoned, sitting there with tears running down my face for my wild, free, fearless friend. I made a decision. I would rather do things imperfectly and live fully than die with my gifts locked inside. I'd rather be fully alive and make a mess of it than be fiddling around as the days, months, and years pass me by. I'd rather fail trying than succeed playing it safe. I'd rather be judged for showing up than forgotten for hiding. And we had a ceremony for Nick, which I organized a week after he died. And it went on for 4 hours of people sharing their heartfelt experiences with Nick. Absolutely amazing how many people's lives he changed because he was just the real deal. So here's what we need to know. We don't have forever. Nick didn't get forever. He got 64 years and he lived them fearlessly. Even though I've had a great life, I feel I've been wasting a lot of time being stuck, perfecting, playing it safe, waiting, wondering what people are going to think, worrying about what people will think, and maybe you're there too. And I don't know how much time you have left. I don't know how much time I have left. It could be 50 years. It could be 5 years. It could be that we go to bed one night and we don't wake up the next day. Here is what I know for certain. We have less time than we think, and our lives fly past so fast. Every day that you want to be perfect is a day you'll never get back. Every day you don't share your gift is a day that someone who needs it suffers without it. And the only way you change yourself is by showing up, doing your best, and serving people. Because the more you show up for others, the more you actually heal and help yourself. You don't need to be perfect. You can't be perfect. You just need to be your best from your heart. We just need to be the best we can be in this moment. That's it. One moment at a time. That's all we can ever do. And that's all that matters. So here's the healing choice. The compassionate moment. I invite you to do something right now. Take a moment to see into the future. Imagine you don't have much time left and feel how precious each second is. What do you want to create in your limited time here on this planet? Just imagine that you had only 5 years left to live. Imagine you had only 5 years left and you didn't have any fears or inhibitions. Imagine it's like a video game you've come into. You've just got 5 years to play around in this game and then you're going to leave. What would you do? How would you live? What would you create? Who would you help? Now, don't think too hard about this. This isn't logical. Don't try and be perfect and think, well, you know, let me plan this. Just write down three things. If you're listening to this and you can stop and just take a moment, pause it. If you had 5 years left and there's three things that you wanted to do, you can write more if you need to, but what are the main three things that you know in your heart you're meant to do or you're meant to experience? What are the gifts that you're meant to share? What is the song that's inside of you that wants to come out? What are the ways that you're meant to show up that really mean something to you? Because we are all going to die. This is the fact. We think we're going to be here forever. We're not. Nick talked to me on the day he died, had all these plans, knew all these visions for the next 3 years, 5 years, and none of it happened at all. He lived fearlessly and had a great life. But he still had more inside of him. Just really imagine this. Don't just do this as like an intellectual exercise and think, okay, yeah, I've written down my goals before. What's next? No, really tune into this. Imagine you have 5 years left, right? Whatever, just look at the date today that you're listening to this. Imagine in 5 years, that's it. You're completely done. You're never going to have any more time. What would you love to share? What would you love to do? Take some time to write them down right now on a sacred piece of paper or any piece of paper. Remember, don't be perfect. You can always rewrite this later if you need to. What are the three things that you want to share and do before you leave? So hopefully you've written that down. And if you haven't, you can pause it. This is really important to get clear of the three main things. So I'll give an example. For me, what do I want to achieve? If I've got 5 years left, I want to experience very high states of consciousness, spiritual awareness, because end of the day, personal transformation, awakening is the most important thing. That's what's bringing about a shift on the planet, is as we change, the world changes. And I want to feel that deeper spiritual connection for hours and hours and hours, so it becomes a natural state. That's number one. The second one is I want to help awaken as many people as possible through sharing all these things that I've learned that can help them as well, which will help me practice more as well. And the third thing is I want to help millions of other people through you, through our students and through others, to awaken more souls throughout the entire world. Because as we all learn these things and we all share them, you can help someone, and that person helps someone else who helps someone else who helps someone else. So if I can share something that's helped me and you benefit from it, and if you share what has helped you, they can benefit from it, and everyone can awaken. It all starts with one person sharing with another. The reason my whole life radically changed is because someone shared with me something that changed my life. And I have imperfectly shared that with others. My mother actually shared with me some spiritual knowledge. Imperfectly, she has all kinds of problems of her own. It completely changed my life. And I've done my best to imperfectly share it with you. And if you share what you've learned with someone, this is how one candle lights another. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to be willing to share. So look at what you've just wrote. This isn't fantasy. This isn't someday. This is who you are becoming. This is the version of you who stopped waiting. This is your future self who shared imperfectly, who lived fully. This is your path forward. I want you to keep these things where you can see them. We need to remember what we want, where we're going, who we're becoming. You're tapping into your future self now just by looking at this list. Because everything we do together from here forward is clearing out what stands between you and your future self. With love, with gentleness, with presence. Because we don't know how long we've got, and we might not even have 5 years. I know many people who've died in accidents, unexpectedly. Today could be our last day. If we think today could be our last day, this could be our last year, we start to actually come alive and see life more clearly. And we're going to talk about this more in another session, but for now, just look at your list. You can always upgrade it if you want, but don't be perfect. Put this somewhere you see it. Look at it every day. If I was going to die in 5 years, this is what I'd like to do. This is who I'm becoming. This is what I'm creating. And then the method to get there is to allow yourself to imperfectly keep living your life and moving forward one step at a time. Put your hand on your heart and know that you have it inside of you already. Everything is already done on a deeper level. You're just retracing your steps that exist within you. Your future self already exists. And all you're doing is one breath at a time, one moment at a time, moving forward. Smiling and enjoying the journey. Give yourself permission to be happy. Give yourself permission to smile. And I'll talk to you in the next session. Thank you so much for your beautiful presence.